It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Hugh Hewitt, lawyer, broadcaster, don't hold that against him, and best-selling author. His new book is The Brief Against Obama, The Rise, Fall, and Epic Fail of the Hope and Change Presidency. Good afternoon, Hugh. How are you?
Great, Andy. Thanks for having me on to talk about the book.
Man, my pleasure. Hey, look, this has been called a fact book that should result in our firing this man as our president. Does that sound about right?
That sounds right. I set out to use his own promises, predictions, and polemics, and then to stack those up against the facts of his presidency. And whatever it is he thought was going to happen, it hasn't happened. In fact, he's been the most spectacularly failed president by his own measurement of modern times.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second. I'm looking at gas prices. They're going down to $3.
They started at $1.89 when he took office. And out in California where I live, they're still above $4.
He's Mr. Foreign Policy. Just look at the Arab Spring.
Of course, and that's worked out really, really well for everyone involved. I have a chapter on his relationship with Israel, and I want people to remember above all else that he left Benjamin Netanyahu in the basement of the White House, stood up, stalked out, and said, if anything changes, I'm around.
Yeah.
Not the way you treat our best ally.
No kidding. But that was just out-and-out awful. I remember that day. All right. He said he would cut the deficit in half during his first term. Guess that didn't happen?
No. In fact, he doubled the amount of red ink in 4 years, the rate of red ink, because George W. Bush spent $5 trillion in red ink. President Obama has spent $5 trillion in red ink, but President Obama did it in 4 years, not 8 years.
Yeah. You know, in fact, I was just looking at the numbers in your book, and they're staggering. You have a chart, really, that goes back, I don't know how many years, about 15 years something, and it shows you the deficit and how it's grown year after year after year, and that's not the story we're hearing out of this administration.
No, it's not. And I'll tell you, Andy, my favorite stat in the book, it took a little digging to put this together. On page 44, I do by presidential term the amount of deficit spending. And I thought, you know, everyone remembers that Ronald Reagan was allegedly this wild spender who built the Navy up to 600 ships and deployed missile defense and was spending wildly all over the place with a tax cut. President Reagan's first term had a complete deficit, total deficit of $787 billion. As I just said, President Obama's first term, $5 trillion. So more than a 600% increase, apples to apples, between Obama and Reagan. I think that shatters people's complacency, if any exists outside of the White House, about the president's spending habit.
Yeah. You say in your book that this president has abused his office like no other before him. And I think we've witnessed that in the past couple of weeks alone regarding illegal immigration. But you have other examples as well, right?
Yeah, I think when I say abuse of office, obviously Nixon had to resign in a scandal having to do with the obstruction of justice. President Obama has not, to our knowledge, committed any criminal act, although we'll have to wait and see whether or not his exercise of executive privilege is any kind of an obstruction. But he has directed the Department of Justice not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. That was a unilateral act, which is unprecedented among constitutional lawyers. The Department of Justice and the executive is obliged to defend the laws of the United States until such time as a court of appeals or higher, the Supreme Court, strikes down that law. He just withdrew support from DOMA, left it on its own. The illegal immigration order that he issued 2 weeks ago, a perfect example of unilateralism. Not only did he adjust his prosecutorial priorities, which is arguably within his authority, he created a new right to work out of whole cloth without the benefit of Congress. And probably the most disturbing of all of his unilateral acts was the issuance of the HHS regulations aimed at destroying the First Amendment protections of Catholics in America, which resulted in 43 Catholic universities and hospitals suing him along with all the bishops last month. And I think, Andy, when you stack up the way a president is supposed to act in a constitutional republic against the way President Obama has acted, he does indeed have the worst record of abuse of the powers of the office.
Yeah, I need a bigger pocket so I can fit the book in it, just so I can have it at parties when people come up and try to slam me for being too far to the right. My guest is Hugh Hewitt. His book is called The Brief Against Obama, The Rise, Fall, and Epic Fail of the Hope and Change Presidency. Hugh, fast and furious, he asserted executive privilege. Were you surprised by that?
I was taken aback. I've been, of course, I worked for Nixon when I was a young guy in his retirement in San Clemente, 1978, 79, and 80. So I know the executive privilege story pretty well, and I teach USB Nixon every year to my law students. If executive privilege is ever to be upheld, it has to be a communication made to the president himself. Thus far, the president has repeatedly said he had nothing to do with Fast and Furious. The privilege that Eric Holder seems to be asserting, that of interdepartmental communications and the right to keep those confidential, has never, ever withstood a congressional subpoena. And so it is simply made up stalling for time till November, or there is something in those documents which is truly stunning, which would be the president's involvement in this process. Therefore, either way, the president's either abused the privilege dramatically and without any kind of an excuse for doing so, or we're going to learn out. We're going to learn an enormous amount of very bad details after the election.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to turn your attention, if I can, to something else you talk about in your book. Green energy, Solyndra comes to mind, but it goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, the long list of green energy initiatives which have gone bad and have failed, detailed in the brief against Obama, we don't even know yet because the Department of Energy has been slow to produce, and indeed some of them are still living on the oxygen of borrowed money from the federal government. What we do know is that none of them have worked to the point where the president has chosen to run for office in front of them. And if people keep that in mind as he makes his various trips around the country running for re-election, just fine. Every president's got a right to try and trumpet what he's gotten done. He won't be appearing in front of any green energy producers because there are none, despite the billions spent on them, that have actually succeeded in bringing to market any kind of product anyone would want to buy.
Yeah. I want to take in another direction very quickly, if I can, because we're expecting the decision coming down this week from the Supreme Court, as a matter of fact, on Thursday, regarding Obamacare. I can only assume you don't think it's worth the paper it's written on?
Well, I think it is a cancer on the United States. The very first chapter in the brief against Obama is about Obamacare. It's about his promise that he made before the American Medical Association in June of 2009 that if you liked your health insurance, you could keep it. If you liked your doctor, you could keep him, period. That has already been breached to millions of Americans. 8 out of 10 Americans have had their health care costs increase dramatically over the last 2 years. Obamacare is destroying the health care system in the United States in rapid fashion, and if the Supreme Court doesn't strike it down on Thursday, it will be the central issue in the election campaign. And if it does strike it down, we can breathe an enormous sigh of relief, but we're going to still have to go forward to retire the president because he simply is in over his head, Andy.
Yeah. One final thing, and it's an awful thought in my mind. What if he wins again?
I don't even know what to think about that. I have thought long and hard about many things. I thought Bill Clinton's reelection was a bad enough thing. Yeah. But I just can't imagine if we had 4 more years of this spending, 4 more years of the inability of him to decide anything without screwing it up, we would be in such a bad situation. Of course, abroad, our enemies would be dancing. So I'm setting my face to the rising sun and assuming that Mitt Romney is going to be the next president, and the cleanup will be a big but nevertheless doable prospect as opposed to 4 more years of the president.
All right, well, we've got a good weapon here in the book called The Brief Against Obama, The Rise, Fall, and Epic Fail of the Hope and Change Presidency. It's by Hugh Hewitt. Great to talk to you this afternoon, and good luck with the book, Hugh.
Thank you, Andy, for having me on.
4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.